The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 499. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. Well, we're one episode away from a huge milestone for me and the show. Episode 500 will be coming at you next week. Very excited for it. It's going to be a huge episode, one that I'm super proud of, and I'm looking forward to dropping it next Thursday. But I'm kind of putting the cart before the horse, as the old saying goes, because we need to talk about this episode. That's right, episode number 499, featuring the last of the C3 conversations I had with those talented folks who helped put together an amazing anthology called Hidden Histories. I'm going to be speaking with Shandu Tenedi, whose entry is called Flight of the Stars, and it has to do with the migration patterns of birds, because what I did not know, and maybe many of you did not know, that Ohio is kind of like a major route, if you will, for birds migrating down south when the time comes. So Shandu talks about that. And my other guest is Jeremy Fuscato, who is a creator from New Jersey. That's right. So you're seeing just how far C3 stretches. But anyways, he has an entry called The Bears of the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. And so we're going to talk about their experiences creating these two entries for Hidden Histories. We're also going to talk about some of their other projects that they got going on that are independent of C3. So, but before I get to my conversation with both those gentlemen, I need to talk about a few great sponsors. And in fact, we're going to talk about the newest sponsor first. That, of course, is Courtney 614 Online Sales. If you need great deals on women's fashion and health and beauty, then look no further than Courtney 614. You can find her at all the major reselling sites like Whatnot, eBay, Poshmark, etc., etc. Simply look for Courtney 614, spelled Courtney 614. You may also see it as Courtney underscore 614 as well. But nonetheless, get yourself some fabulous deals from Courtney. And of course, if you buy anything, let her know that you heard about the store from yours truly right here on the PVD Cast. And now it's time for the legendary sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They are located in 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every era, the golden, the silver, the bronze, and the modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, various collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, you name it, they got it for your fandom. So check them out by stopping by the store, which again, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. I'd like to thank both of those great sponsors for their support. I really do appreciate it. So I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Shandu and Jeremy as we talk about their entries for Hidden Histories. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me this evening is a creator of many different comics, including All Our Monsters, Shandu Tenedi. How are you, my friend?
Doing well, John. Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for coming by and chatting with me about some of the things you have going on, including that you're part of the newest C3 anthology, of course, called C3's Hidden Histories. What's the title of your entry?
My entry is called Flight with the Stars.
Okay, Flight with the Stars. And if I remember correctly, it has to do with birds and bird migration, correct?
Yes, it does. So I don't know how widely known this fact is, but so I guess I should back up. The anthology is primarily focused around histories and little known facts about Ohio, or widely known, you know, but it's a nonfiction anthology this time. So like the last few times we've, you know, worked on more fictional creative prompts, but this time around, we decided to go nonfiction, and so all of the stories in there are factoids about particular subjects that have to do loosely with Central Ohio. So my entry this time is called Flight to the Stars. It's basically the story of how Ohio sits in a very popular migration path. So we know birds migrate, you know, they go all the way down to South America. Some fly as far as Australia, then they come back up north and they fly into like North America, go further up into Canada and so on. Right. And this happens every year. And as it turns out, there are four lanes of traffic, if you will, of bird traffic in Ohio, in the US. And like two of those are like Ohio sits right in between two of them. And so we get a huge variety of birds flying right through, through summer and then back again in the fall when they're heading back south. So just wanted to like talk about that for my entry this time.
You had to do a lot of research to find this out because I don't imagine that's very readily available.
Yes, this is true. I mean, that I will say that, you know, I think especially with COVID and certain other circumstances, I think bird watching has kind of spiked in interest. And so there's you know, some content if you know where to look. And among those, like, you know, I was able to find some. So the Columbus Audubon Society is a big one. So for those who don't know, John James Audubon was one of the pioneers of identifying birds in this part of the world and classifying them and so on. Now, he has a complicated history like most people of that time, but the Columbus Audubon Society keeps that legacy alive of the good part with like, you know, protecting birds, conservation and so on. And so one of their initiatives is called Lights Out Columbus. And the idea is that because a lot of the birds that migrate do so at night, which is why my title is called Flight by the Stars. So they use like geomagnetism and like the light of the stars, the moon, the sun to figure out like where they're going. Right. And we're still trying to understand how they manage to do it year after year. And if you think about it, a lot of the birds come north to breed. So that the babies they have are flying for the first time. They've learned to fly for the first time. And then they're going to migrate for the very first time in their lives going south. Right. So Lights Out Columbus helps with that by turning off a lot of the lights on skyscrapers and big buildings, because they will confuse the birds and the birds tend to like, you know, collide and die and like, you know, get lost or confused and so on. So just wanted to like use my piece to like call attention to that and how folks can help.
One of the things that my wife and I like to do is we have an app on our phone. I can't remember what it's called. I'd have to look at it here, but it's where we sit on the back porch. We'll have a drink or two and we'll be listening to the birds, and this app identifies the birds. Yeah. And it's cool because it gets to be like, I'm going to use this analogy. It's a bad analogy, I know, but it's like Pokemon Go, you know, like, let's collect all these different, you know, birds. And when we go on vacation, we sometimes kick open that app and learn about these new birds that we're hearing.
That's amazing, John. Like you're way far ahead of a lot of bird watchers already. So like, yeah, the app is called Merlin. There's a
Merlin. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Merlin's what we use. Very. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Yeah. It's made by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the bird studies. And so like, yeah, they've crowdsourced a lot of, you know, these sounds and, you know, they've used that data to mine and they can figure out what birds are chirping at any given point.
So if you didn't do this topic, was there a plan B? I'm curious because I just figured that maybe when you first started, you know, obviously this doesn't pertain to you because you have the story done and that, but was there ever any doubt of like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this thing about the birds. Maybe I should be doing something else.
Not really, honestly. Like I was gonna do birds, but I know that there's a couple of other folks on C3 who are also bird enthusiasts, and I just wanted to make sure that they had their turn. And like, if they were gonna do birds, I was gonna either back out slowly of the project or, you know, find something else at that point. But I never really had a plan B. But then when I realized that some of these other folks that I know are bird enthusiasts were doing other topics, I was like, okay, bird migration is still safe as a topic. So I just went for it.
Okay. All right. It's safe to say that you are a fan of birds.
Yes, absolutely.
You're wearing one on your shirt right now. So
yes. Yes. It's not a coincidence, but yes, I have been a fan for a while. I'm not, you know, as avid as some people. Like I know people keep telling me about the movie The Big Year, which hilarious movie. If you ever, you know, get a chance to watch it, do it. But I'm not in it competitively like the folks in that movie. So, you know, I do it when I can. I'm more of a armchair birder or a fair weather birder.
Okay. I think I fit into that category as well as like fair weather. I don't. Yeah. So, in your own words, why do you think somebody should pick up the anthology? I mean, I know you're in it, and that's a selling point right off the bat.
Of course.
But why should folks pick it up?
So I actually was, Sydney sent out the proof yesterday, and I didn't even know some of the projects that were in there. It is just a phenomenal piece of, like, history about Ohio. There's all kinds of, you know, with different kinds of narrative styles and drawing styles. And so just the technical talent available, right? There's also some really well-researched pieces and data visualization that, you know, you wouldn't otherwise find. So like there's one piece about the native peoples of Ohio and how they migrated here and like, you know, where they settled and like relics that we can still find around them. Then there's others about just the bears in the zoo, like the different kinds of bears. And that's a great piece that I love. And then another one around how Ohio used to be an ocean way back when, and then like, you know, before the land shifted and then it became, you know, a glacier and then it became, you know, land. So history is like that, like anything from like, you know, ancient prehistory to like modern factoids, and things like that. So I think it's just going to be a really, really interesting read and very different from anything we've done before.
How long have you been a part of C3?
Oh, good question. I want to say at least 5, maybe 6 years. Okay. I'll have to look back on that. But
So let me ask a follow up question: Is this your like third anthology or second anthology? How many anthologies have you done with C3?
This is my third anthology. Okay. Yes. So I think I missed one. And then when I joined, they had just put it out. So like, okay. Yeah. So yeah, I did miss one. But yeah, this is my third. I remember, like, so there was the previous two that I was in were the ones where we were using, like, prompts for the words Columbus, cartoon, and coalition.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about the crowdfunder campaign, because I think that this is a unique way to do it. And mm-hmm. I think for some folks, and I'm not trying to be derogatory or picking on anybody or anything along those lines, but I think some folks maybe don't quite grasp it, like they don't get it. So I'm going to run it down real quick before we talk more about some of your other stuff that you got coming down the pipeline, Chandu. But here we go. It's real simple, folks. When you buy a copy of the anthology, all right, that money is going right back to people like Chandu, like Jeremy, like all those fine folks that I've spoken to or will be speaking to. It goes right back to those folks. So if we can raise $2,000, that means every artist, every creator gets a page for $25. That's their page count. That their page rate, excuse me, is $25. And it goes all the way down below that. But let's focus on just the $2,000 because I think that's really reachable. There's other tiers. There's one for $1,675. There's one for $1,350, which is fine. That's great. But I think, Chandu, I think we deserve to have $25 as a page rate. Don't you agree?
I would agree. I mean, at the very least, like, based on the talent and the research and the work that has gone into this, I think it makes sense.
Absolutely. And so, folks, you need to check it out. URLs for links to where you can get the anthology is available on all the social media for C3. Like I said, it costs money to be creative. It does. I mean, Chandu, you have to buy supplies. You have to buy, maybe you want to go and learn a new art style. You got to go to a seminar or something along those lines. And it costs money, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, and this might get a little controversial, and, you know, but with, you know, artists are, you know, it's a difficult time to be an artist right now.
Yeah.
Right. With AI and, like, with the other ways in which, you know, the intellectual property and the work of artists is getting undercut, you know, I think it's more important than ever to, like, support artists in the community.
Absolutely. So again, folks, definitely check it out. If you can, donate some cash, pick up the anthology, then that donation's going right back into the C3 funds for, like I said, for all these talented folks to be able to produce entertaining, educational, informative pieces of work. And you know what? I think I'm going to use what you just said in regards to AI and all of the ways in which it's becoming more difficult to be a artist. And I want to talk about your new comic called Tongue Tied. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about that project, please?
I would love to. Thank you. So Tongue Tied is a one-shot comic. It's not a series. It's not a graphic novel. It's only like 40 pages long. And it's a meditation on memory. And Optical Slots wrote a really great review about it. But basically, it's about somebody who probably misses their moment more often than they would want to. So it's developed in a square format. I launched it first on social media. It went out panel by panel. So, like, so it fits, you know, the square format in that way. And so the book is that story put on paper.
It has kind of a philosophical vibe to it. Would that be accurate to say?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Does that worry you that some people won't pick it up or some people won't understand it and that therefore maybe will hurt its sales? I mean, I is that a concern? Is that a worry? Or do you feel confident enough that the story will stand on its own and it'll be just fine?
That's a great question, John. And, you know, it's something that sometimes keeps me up. But, you know, sometimes... you know, the story shows up in a way that you don't question. And so, like, this was something that developed, you know, it took on a life of its own, and I needed to put it out there the way that I could with whatever skill I had. And so I think if folks gave it a try, I think it would resonate. So, you know, it starts off with a tone that feels almost slapstick or like an old cartoon. But then there's a twist in the second, or after two thirds of the book, which makes it all take on a whole new meaning. So I would really love if folks check it out. I think, you know, I like to think that I can, you know, my strength is portraying emotion and portraying, you know, storytelling that resonates with people. And I think this is definitely, that's definitely a hallmark of this book.
Where can folks get a copy of the book?
It's available on my site, tenity.art. And if you look in the comics section there, you should find a link to it. It's also available on my Ko-fi, which is where I have my storefront, and I have other comics and other stuff that I've made available there.
Well, let's talk about another one of those comics that you've made. We've highlighted it, or I highlighted it at the beginning of our conversation, All Our Monsters. It was a huge success, the first issue. You have a second issue coming pretty soon. So let's maybe give those folks that are not familiar with the tale, let's give them a quick summary, can we?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So All Our Monsters is a series. The first issue came out 2 years ago, and it won the first place in its category at Space in 2024. Quick summary on the story. It's a fantasy of a teenager who is a refugee, and they're fleeing a repressive regime. But as they're doing that, they develop a musical ability that is more than what it seems. So, and as they develop that ability, there's a resistance that forms around them. And the question is whether one young person can stand against an empire.
Issue two is coming soon. Yes. I mean, you're currently, where are you at in the process of completing the book? Because I don't know if folks know this, but you're kind of a one-man show, right?
Yes. Yes. So I wrote it, drew it, and I'm coloring it right now. So yes, issue one is self-published. That's available on my Ko-fi. Issue two is in the works. I have it all inked out, and I'm in the process of getting it colored. And then, you know, it should be available later this year. I do have the third issue scripted. I don't have it drawn out yet, but that's in the process as well. So this is not like a one and done, you know, back burner project. I'm actively working on it. But as you said, you know, I'm fighting for the hours in the day when I can keep it moving.
So just off the topic here real quick, you do all the production for your books. What do you least like doing? Is it coloring? Is it inking? What's the one that you're like, oh God, I just got to get through this, and then everything else will be, you know, easy breezy?
That it's got to be coloring.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've learned a tremendous amount doing this book about color and how to, you know, like, I think, you know, if folks really wanted to see it, like, they could see the progression of my skill even within the book. But yes, coloring has not been my strong suit for a long time. Like, I was primarily a pen and ink guy. But I know that, you know, especially with this story and some of the other work that I've done, that, like, it's, you know, it's equally important to be able to render everything in a believable way. And, you know, it just expands the ability to tell your story in so many different ways. If I may, like, coming back to Tongue-Tied, right, I use a very limited color palette. Like, it's most of it is black and white, but there are just a few highlight colors here and there that really add some impact to the story. So I could show you this panel right here. I don't know how well you can see it. I probably need to take my background off.
Yeah, the background's got to come off. It kept picking that up.
Okay. It's fine. You can probably see it. There we go. I got it. Okay. So this panel right here, it's mostly back in black and white, but then there's that highlight of the purse the lady is carrying, and that like pops bright red. Things like that, you know, really change what you're trying to convey. And it doesn't land the same way that, you know, just a black and white thing would do. But there are other stories where like black and white makes total sense. So this is another story that I've been working on for a different anthology, not the C3 one, but this one is told all in black and white.
So when you sit down to color or add colors to a project, how do you do that? Are you more of the electronic type of the new age way, or were you more old school?
No, I am new age in that.
Okay.
yes, I mean I learned to draw or learned to draw. I taught myself how to draw in the old school ways, like, you know, with pencil and pen. But anymore, like I work off my iPad exclusively.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So I read where you've had your daughter help write some comics, like the Marionette, for an example.
Yes.
Does she have the inkling to follow in dad's footsteps?
Not particularly. I mean, I think she is still, she is, I mean, she wouldn't admit this, but she is an excellent artist. But she wants to focus on writing. So, and probably not comics. So it's going to be,
Oh, you snuck that in. That was well done.
Yeah. Yep, I had to do that.
Oh, that was good. Very well timed. So let's talk also about the Columbus Scribbler for a moment, because for those that don't know, we have ourselves, for lack of a better term, one heck of a newspaper that focuses on independent art, independent comic strips, etc. And you've had several stories being featured in the Columbus Scribbler. How's that make you feel? Like when you, like, can you go back to the time when you first saw your work in that periodical that gets a wide circulation here in Central Ohio? So what was the feeling like?
It was amazing. I mean, I'm searching for words, but like, there's definitely, you could say validation. You could just say like, you know, just the joy of, you know, of seeing your work in print, in a legitimate, like, circulation. It's amazing. And like you said, I've had a few pieces in there, and I highly recommend, people who are starting out, that they check out the Scribbler and they pitch to them. Yeah, because they're very open and like very welcoming of, especially of new artists. And so like they will prefer somebody who has never submitted before to somebody who has. So if you're, if anybody who's listening to this is an artist and they're like, oh, I don't know where to get my work published, the Scribbler is definitely an option, and they pay you for it.
Do you have any other pieces of advice you'd give somebody that's new to the game, so to speak?
Dang, sorry, I didn't mean to like switch topics there.
No, that's fine.
No, absolutely. I think mostly I would say find a community. So, and I'm not, we're talking about the C3 anthology, but that is another place where, you can get your work out and in the hands of readers, right? There's all kinds of other anthologies, but having a community that you can rely on for feedback and support and like just to show off your work, and it has been invaluable for me to be able to be part of this community. Because, if I was just by myself, like I would still be doodling on post-it notes, to be honest. Like, I would not have gotten my work out, much less in like the Scribbler, or way out of left field, like even being able to publish my own work. I mean, the advice I've gotten through the community is huge. So highly recommend that.
Any other pieces of advice?
No, I think I'm
okay. Okay. All right. You got it. So is there any other projects coming down the pike besides All Our Monsters issue 2? Do you have anything else you want to highlight real quick?
So yeah, Tongue Tied, obviously. So that's done. All Our Monsters issue 2 is coming out. There's another work that the black and white comic I was just showing earlier, that is going to be in another anthology with a few friends. And we're hoping to get that to debut at Space as well. I hope I'm not stealing their thunder here. But yeah, so definitely look for that. Another great collection of talent and really good stories.
Excellent. All right, let's run it down one more time here, because we need to make sure that everybody understands what we're talking about here when we're talking about the crowdfunder. As I said just a few moments ago, we'd love for everybody to hit that 2,000 mark to get everybody a page rate of $25. But if we get to 1675, every contributor, every artist, every writer, everybody affiliated with their with this anthology is going to get $20 a page count. $13.50, if that's all that we get through the donations, then it's going to be $15 per page rate. And then $10.50, $10 a page rate. So, look, this is something that's unique. It's different. Shandu, I don't know if there's anyone else in indie comics doing something like this. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a few communities, but like this one, the regularity with which we put out great work, I think, has been amazing. And I think each one has been different. And so, like, and if you were to check out the crowdfunder campaign, there's probably ways in which you can get older copies, and you know, and or if you're into it, like the C3 also has their own Ko-fi, and so a lot of our previous work is available there as well, including stickers and other merchandise around there. So yeah, definitely check us out.
Yeah, definitely. Again, it's C3's Hidden Histories. It is the anthology for this year. And again, all the money's staying put, okay? It's not going anywhere. It's not going out of state. It's not going, heck, it's not really even going out of this community, with the exception of a few people. But predominantly, we're all here. 90% of us are all Central Ohio folks. It's staying here in Central Ohio for people that are creative, who need a little extra cash to just get that project over the hump, so to speak, or to buy new supplies. I mean, I've not bought supplies in a very, very, very long time, but I can assure you that they're probably not cheap. Is that correct, Shandu?
That's correct. I won't say much more, but yes, that is very, very, very true.
All right. With that then, ladies and gentlemen, again, just check it out, man. The crowdfunder info is available through all the social media with C3. And Shandu, let's talk to you. Let's talk about your social media website. I know it's September. We're winding things down convention-wise, but are there any appearances or anything that you might be making in the next few months?
Nothing as of yet. I'm waiting to hear on one. I mean, I will be at CX3, but I'm not tabling or presenting. I'll just be attending. But, you know, if anybody listening happens to be there, happy to get together and, you know, watch a few talks, or, you know, check out the Artist Alley and so on. So highly recommend CXC too, which is Cartoon Crossroads. And waiting to hear on a couple other cons. So no official word yet on my next appearance. Definitely want to be at Space next year. So definitely look out for that one.
How about website? Social media as well?
Yeah, sure. My website is tenity.art. So there should be links right there on there to all of my other presence on the web. I'm tenity.art on Instagram as well. And my Ko-fi is ko-fi.com/1080art. So no dot there. It's just 1080art.
Okay, cool. Yep. Chandu, it's been fun. Thanks for sitting down and chatting with me about this new anthology that C3 is putting out and, you know, all the cool things you got going on as well.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, John. Thank you so much for having me.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll take a quick break and I'll be back with another great conversation with someone from C3. I'm going to interrupt my conversation just for one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collections, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. You name it, they got it. If you're in Central Ohio, you need to stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also follow them online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're pretty active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon I am sitting down with another one of our very talented contributors to the Hidden Histories anthology for C3. I'm talking about Jeremy Fuscaldo. So, Jeremy, how are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing really well.
So you have an entry in the Hidden Histories anthology that is called The Bears at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. So I think it's pretty, self-explanatory what it's about, but can you give us a little summary of the entry?
Well, it is basically a comic about the many different bears that are found at the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium. And it's basically facts about the bear outside, about each bear outside of their respective location in Columbus. Some of them are from one of the Alaskan coastlines, I believe. I could be getting that mistaken. Some of them are polar bears that were based in Antarctica, and others are brown bears or black bears in other parts of the country. Sloth bears, too, I just remembered.
Okay, all right. Why did you pick this topic, if I may ask?
Well, for the past year, I was re-inspired by my affinity of bears. And because I went to a zoo exhibit in New York, and I was inspired by, it was New York State, and I was inspired by the bears that were there. They were two grizzly bears named Pal and Sadie. And I was doing a ton of bear research, like different, like bears that are like going around in different neighborhoods, or famous bear actors like Bart the Bear. And other type of bear facts as well, and videos, and famous people with bears.
Okay, got a couple follow-up questions to that. Mm-hmm. Bert the Bear, what is that name? Sounds familiar, but I can't place what show or what movie that bear belongs to.
It's Bart the Bear. He was a bear actor, a real live bear actor. Like, this was a bear who was born and raised as an actor to appear on film, television, and even was also present at one of the Oscar events. He was this giant grizzly bear. He basically appeared as a stunt bear in several movies. I don't know which ones I can think of at the top of my head, but I think there was a film in 1988, and he also simultaneously appeared in The Great Outdoors with John Candy and John Candy was in that, and he was also in Homeward Bound, and okay. He was also in a few other movies as well that I can't think of, but he was definitely present at the Oscars.
See, I've said it at every one of my conversations with the fine folks of C3 that I learned something today that I never knew, and I like to think of myself as a film buff, so thank you for that, Jeremy.
You're welcome.
The other question that I had then real quick is, did you always, even like as a little kid, did you have this infatuation with bears?
I think so. Because I know growing up, I loved watching, this was primarily based on AAML, but I loved reading and watching Winnie the Pooh. I also grew up reading the Berenstain Bears, and I'm trying to think of other bear facts that I've known growing up. And primarily, I wanted to tackle a zoology type of study or story or comic for a long time. And bears were one of my favorite animals growing up. I think even at one point I went to a zoo show and there was bears that were performing on a motorcycle at one point. And another fact about bears that I learned along my studies is that there's this sanctuary, this animal sanctuary. I think it's based up in south of New York State. It's this wildlife sanctuary that's owned by this couple. And they made it their life's mission to raise and nurse various bears from across the country. Their known resident bear was named Jimbo. And I was just very inspired by what they did at some point and wanted to try to. Oh, there's another fact. Not only was I inspired by that, but there was also a show I watched in college from Cartoon Network that was created by David Chung. And it was named We Bear Bears. It was about these three different bears who grew up together and basically went on adventures.
Okay. So was there did the thought even cross your mind for a plan B? So if you were going to do bears, if somebody else for the anthology did bears, were you like, I have a plan B? Or was it all or nothing? I'm doing bears no matter what.
It's a good question. I think if I were to do a plan B, I would have covered another animal that I loved learning about. I also would have covered another educational study about Columbus and maybe about one of the other known facts about Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I think bears was the first thing because I was thinking about it and just said, okay, I have this idea. I might as well just get it out of my system and express it to the world and just see where it goes.
So the bears at the Columbus Zoo, how much research did you have to do? Because, I mean, you're not in the Central Ohio area. Mm-hmm. So how did you just do a lot of online research for getting the facts for those particular bears in the Columbus Zoo?
Yeah. My primary mode of research was the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium website, and there was a lot of cross-examination to try to make sure they're independently backed up. They back up the zoo's studies and facts. And I also had learned while I was making the comic that there were two bear cubs that just had been introduced into the black bear exhibit. I forgot their names, but they were introduced around in July of this year.
Oh, yeah. I do remember hearing a news story about them. I didn't really pay that close of attention, but I do. Yeah, you're correct. There was one. I think, July. I would have said, if you put me on the spot, I would have said sometime in the summer. But yeah, definitely. So let's talk a little bit about C3. Mm-hmm. How long have you been working with C3?
I have been involved with C3 for about at least 3 years. I think I joined around the end of 2021 when one of their original co-founders, I believe their name was Mitch, may have sent me an invite a while ago, or it could have been that their Instagram page had followed me around that time as well. And I thought it'd be a good idea to join and check out and see what they had to offer. And around that time, I told them I was from New Jersey. They accepted out-of-state members too. And I came up with, I think I, the first thing I did was contribute to their anthology back in 2022 and created an Amelia Enmity, sort of a comic tie-in for Amelia Enmity about all the things you can do in Columbus, Ohio. One of the things was going to the zoo and aquarium. The second was going to a bookstore. Third one was going to CCAD's art exhibit. And the fourth one was going to the Otherworld Infinity Mirror. And those are things that I'm hoping I get to do in the near future because I always wanted to visit Ohio. And I always was fascinated by those four things in the Ohio area and wanted to get a chance to visit them so I can go back, so I can check them off my bucket list.
Well, let me ask you, what's the benefits to belonging to C3? from your point of view?
The benefits of being a part of C3 is that you get to make friends with people from that area, in the Discord. You get to learn new things that you didn't learn before about the self-publishing, self-publishing scene. You also get to work with different people from all walks of life who get to challenge you on your creative ideas and telling you, hey, this could be better, this can be improved. And also, you get to express yourself and address topics that are relevant to the group's mission. And oh, third one, that if ever there was a show that I had couldn't attend, but they were going to attend, the other benefit of being a member is that I could mail members my work so that they can sell it in addition. And if they needed my help to sell and promote artwork that they needed to promote, I would happily share what I can share what they're able to send me and sell it on the site as well. I hope it's not transactional, because I don't, but one thing I believe in is collaborative friendship and just trying to, I just want to make sure that I just try to go by the principle of treating others the way you want to be treated. And I believe when you help somebody, it's like helping yourself and them in return. And it's always about doing what's right in the end and trying to help foster the mission of the organization and raising awareness to communities of color and different gender communities in the Columbus, Ohio area.
Well, let's take a moment, since we're kind of on the right wavelength, to talk about the crowdfunder, ladies and gentlemen. And don't worry, Jeremy, we've still got plenty of other things that we want to talk about. But I think for right now, we need to let everybody know that this is a great opportunity to help out C3. C3 does so much for the independent art community here in Columbus. And it's such a great group to belong to. Jeremy from New Jersey has joined. So that ought to tell you something, folks. If you can, donate definitely through the crowdfunder campaign. Not only will you get an awesome anthology, but you'll also be helping out all the people in that anthology. We're looking to reach $2,000. And if we do that, then every contributor gets a page rate of $25. And we have other tiers. We have $16.75, where everybody would get $20 for page rate. $13.50 gives you $15 page rate. $1,050 gives you the $10 page rate. But look, let's shoot for it. Let's shoot for the top tier, if you will, folks. Let's get that $2,000 in here so people like Jeremy, like Sydney, like Fennec, like Shandu, like all of these great people that I have talked to in these conversations, fabulous creators, fabulous artists, fabulous writers, they can definitely use the help. Because Jeremy, true or false, it's expensive sometimes to be creative, right?
It is. I'm still paying sometimes it can be an annual or monthly fee for software or just to keep the lights on software that I'm not using, but I'm trying to preserve. So that way I can have it on file to revisit something that I worked on, or in the event I need to work on something new, and have it there before I transition to another software company that has the same support networks that the original program had. Another added benefit of working with C3, and I forgot to mention this before because it's more than just making money, but when you're contributing to C3, you're basically helping underprivileged artists like myself, Sydney, Kelsey, John, and other people who contributed to the anthology. You're helping us get paid. Now, I do know, I think Kelsey is not able to contribute at this time because they're preoccupied with other things, but they have contributed in the past. And when you donate, and when, regardless of they or any other artist contributes to the anthology, you're helping us put bread on the table. So that way we're all trying to support ourselves as artists so we can raise money towards our professional goals or even personal art goals too. Is that a good benefit to explain, John?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think that a few weeks ago when I started talking to all these fine collaborators and artists and whatnot, that I never thought about the use of software. You know, I was thinking that, you know, you definitely would have to have some funds to get pencils and paint and all different types, never thought about what the most expensive cost is, and that is for creators to have a laptop or an iMac or whatever, and the other software that you need. So yeah, definitely, folks, like I said, it's a great opportunity to help out these fine, fine folks. And, you know, I've said it before, all the money stays in Central Ohio. All right. It stays right there. It goes right back into the art community here in Ohio and New Jersey as well. So you definitely need to do yourself a favor. Check out that crowdfunder. URLs are going to be posted all over the social media for C3, which, if you don't know, C3 stands for Columbus Cartoon Coalition. Just look that up on all the social medias, and there will be information on how you can contribute to the crowdfunder and get your hands on Hidden Histories, which is one darn good anthology, if I do say so myself.
Thank you. And definitely, if for those who are watching as we're live, please support John, Sydney, Ben, and Kelsey, and other creators who've contributed too. Everyone there has been nothing but supportive and challenging, and they're really great people. They're a really great group of people that I've been working with for the past few years.
All right, Jeremy, let's talk a little bit about you, if you will. Obviously, we talked about that, you know, as a kid, you loved bears. As a kid, were you also always drawing and creating?
I don't think to the frequent extension that I'm doing it now, but when I was very young, I definitely dabbled with a lot of crayon art and a lot of paint art when I was a young kid. And I think even at one point I might have drawn prototype of what I thought bear, what type of bears that I could come up with. And I also I remember this had to do with bears. There was a Mad Libs exercise I did involving bears, and we would just make these fill in the blanks about using, you know, nouns, verbs, or objects or anything else, and just make jokes about what bears do in the woods, just being silly.
Where does your creative streak come from? Like, were your parents creative? Was there an older sibling or a younger sibling that was creative? Where did that come from?
Well, my parents definitely, and brother, had a creative backbone. They were primarily musicians, and I come from a family of musicians, and I almost pursued a musical background at one point for college, but then I decided to transfer over to communications because I wasn't sure if music was what I wanted to do, and I wanted to explore television, film, and comics and illustration, and I think art. I'm trying to think of other any side of art on my family, any other relatives who were artists themselves. I think now my late Aunt Margaret, who I've talked about on Blue Sky in the past, she was a musician as well. I could be wrong. She might have done some artwork herself, and maybe my Aunt Patricia, but I would have to double check with them because they would know more about than me.
So how would you describe your art style? Because I looked at your Instagram, and I mean, to me, in my humble opinion, it's a very energetic style of art. It's a very colorful style of art. It's got a lot of movement, I guess would maybe be the best way that I could define it. But how would you describe it to somebody that's listening or watching?
That's a pretty accurate description. I think I would characterize it as active, always evolving. I'm always trying to try new things. Like I'm working on a Superman animatic, and I'm trying to get back. I've been successfully getting back on the saddle, making Amelia Emity short comics independently for myself. And I'm always experimenting with different formats, and I'm always trying to push the envelope of what I can do. Cause I think back in the early 2010s, my art style was very stagnated. And sometimes there'd be mouth movement that would just basic mouths opening up and down. And now I'm just studying people twisting. Now I'm just drawing like people twisting or turning, or even just giving facial expressions, like, or just being happy, or like I'm trying. Like I find myself animating or storyboarding a wide expressions of emotions now. And I think the best way to characterize my art style is evolving, energetic, moving and very, I almost want to say very forward thinking without being too forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, it absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about Amelia Enmity. We talked about it, I believe, last time we talked. Could you give a quick summary for the folks that are listening or watching?
Okay. So Amelia Enmity is a biracial goth girl. She loves magic, science, sorcery, and all other forms of learning. And she has these two friends, Jessie the Ragdoll Girl and Sky the Ghost Girl. It's always about them going through life together and figuring things out. And I have been trying to find a way to start up making comics of her again, because there was a few, I feel like in 2023, I tried to start up making comics of her again, but I never followed through with it. And I want to apologize to any viewers for not completing any comic art that I teased back in that year. I got some really great advice from a few friends at a comics meetup that I've been going to. And I think it's been helping me get back into creating comics of her again. I'm planning to revisit one of my short comics that I made in 2023. And I'm also trying to continue making mini comics of her, so I have art to promote her. And I also, with the help of some friends, just reprinted Amelia Enmity webcomic volume 1 with some of the earlier webcomics that I made in 2017 and 2018. Albeit this time, I kept it hyper-focused to the comics that I was the most proud of from that period.
All right, let me ask about another project. You were involved with a project that unfortunately did not go very far, and that was a short film called Playtime. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Playtime was a short film that was written and directed by one of my colleagues, Ray Thang. Ray Thang was a video essayist, and I discovered him in 2019 when he made a video essay about one of my favorite shows, Tuca and Birdie. And I connected with him in 2021 about possibly working together. And it all started when he and I discussed concepts for Playtime, the short film that he had been writing. And we started out with character designs, and then storyboard animatics, and then background designs. And eventually, after we got the bare bones set up, we reached out and hired a few additional artists to help with additional background designs, animation, and prop design as well. And we had a really fun time. There were some minor new technical issues that we were working on as we were in the animation process. But honestly, in spite of that, I'm still proud to have been involved on getting to work on this project, on this film. It was the first professional short film that I was involved in, and it was the first time I had worked with other animators in the animation industry. And it's something I've just included on my website, on my storyboard, and visual development page. And I'm also planning to include a compilation of all the shots that I had animated over the course of 2 years.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, before we start wrapping things up here and we talk about your social media and your website and appearances and that, I need to remind folks again what we're doing here. We're doing this because we want to make sure that everybody that contributes to the donation or contributes to the crowdfunder campaign, they get an opportunity to help out these great artists. And again, I'm not going to break down all the tiers. There's lots of tiers, but we want to shoot for the very tippy top, if you will. We want to get $2,000. If we do that, everybody gets a page rate of $25 a page. And again, it all goes to the artists. You're getting us awesome. Trust me, I've seen the proof. I've seen it. I got a little advanced copy. It's an awesome anthology with so many cool things in there, so much that you're going to learn about. And so you definitely need it. So again, go over to all of the social media for C3. There'll be links. There'll be URL scans or URL addresses. There'll be QR codes to use to get your information on getting your hands on Hidden Histories, which is the anthology for this year. And you'll be helping people like Jeremy, So there you go.
Thank you. And I just also want to say that real quickly before I get back to appraisal on the Columbus Anthology, that it was an honor to have worked with Ray and Ben and Gene and any other person that was involved in the production of the film that we worked on. Again, I wouldn't have traded for the world. And I'm hoping that no matter what happens, that our hard work gets more and more noticed, and we all are able to, you know, be able to get more attention and be hired for more things and be able to be remembered as the crew that worked on that movie. And getting back on Columbus Cartoon Coalition, I do echo John's sentiment about making sure you check out the anthology and help support it, because even if it's just a dollar or two sent our way, any dollar you donate will ensure the financial stability of every artist working on this book and anthology. Right now, the freedom of speech and the freedom to create is under pressure right now. And any help that you give to this anthology, it'll be as if you're helping the entire publishing community in a way. Not to suggest that it's only way you can help the publishing community, but still, if you lend a helping hand to a neighbor in need, like the Columbus Cartoon Coalition anthology, it will help with the publication and circulation of further anthologies down the road.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And because I believe in this community, and I hope more people too.
All right. Well, Jeremy, let's wrap things up here. Where can folks follow you online in terms of social media, website, maybe if you have an appearance or two? I know it's getting close to the end of the year and some of those conventions and whatnot are kind of going goodbye for the year. But tell us about where folks can follow you online.
Certainly. People can find me on Tumblr. You can find me on Blue Sky. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram. I'm still, despite the problems with Meta right now, I'm still posting artwork on Instagram, but I'm trying to make sure it's all glazed so people don't scalp our data. However, you can also find me on, recently, I started this summer, you can find me on Webtoons, because I started publishing Amelia Enmity short comics on Webtoons recently, and I'm hoping to produce more Amelia Enmity, or different forms of Amelia Enmity comic content, as well as publishing a few other comic series that I'm involved in, including Night Luna, which is another short comic idea that I've been coming up with, and who knows what else I might be able to release on the site.
Okay, cool. Hey, Jeremy, thanks for taking some time out of this afternoon to sit down and chat with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the time given to me too, and I hope that I was a really welcome guest.
You got it. You definitely were.
Real quickly, as of this recording, I don't know if it's going to be released before or after, but on October 17th to the 19th, I'll be at Baltimore Comic Con in Baltimore, Maryland. And I also have a scheduled tabling appearance at Boundless Bound Publishing. It's a comics publishing event for comics and academics in October 29th to the 30th. And it's at James Madison University. So feel free to catch me there.
I'm going to take a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Shandu Tanetti and Jeremy Foscato, the final two conversations that I'm having with some great creators, talking about, of course, their projects and their participation in the C3 Hidden Histories Anthology. Now, maybe you have a question for me about this episode, or any episode for that matter. Let me tell you where you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can also drop me a line on the Facebook, the Instagram, and the Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And I'm still on Twitter under my personal Twitter handle of @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that. First of all, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single episode of the show. but it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets and apps. All you got to do is go to your favorite outlet or app, put in the search bar PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're using one of those outlets or apps, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. Please rate and review. Rating and reviewing drives me up in the algorithm, and it's super important for those major companies to know that you're listening to the PVDcast. And hey, while you're rating and reviewing, go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But there's still one other way that you can hear the show, and that is every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a live broadcast through the Facebook page. So there you go. You got three different ways of hearing the show: PVDcast.com, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app, and of course, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, through the Facebook page. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you very much for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.